If you want to follow along today in this message that we have here, I would invite you to turn in your King James Bible. That's the King James Authorized 1611 version out of Antioch. I'd urge you to turn there. And there's one verse of Scripture I would like to begin with, and then we'll get into the heart of the message. Okay? First of all, let me tell you the name of the message and give you a chance to find Romans, chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 30. We'll start off with that. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. First, I'll say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity you've given me. Oh, Lord, it's a joy and a privilege to be able to bring forth your word, Lord, that others may hear, that others may know, Lord, the truth about the Scriptures. And, Lord, as you know, I've titled my message today, Superficial Salvation. Superficial Salvation. I pray, Lord, that when the message is finished, that if anybody is not absolutely sure, positive in their hearts, in their minds about salvation, that they will come to thee this very day. Okay, Romans 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also, and I love this last phrase, them he also glorified. Wow! Oh, great words from our Lord God and Savior. Oh, indeed, indeed. Superficial salvation. Wow! How many people are believing right now that if they died today, they'd go to heaven? Are you one of them? And yet you have no change in your lifestyle? Oh, I'm not saying that you're down, no good, dirty, or anything like that at all. No, 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 no. What I'm saying is, do you want to be sure that when you do pass from this life, that you will go to heaven? Do you want to be sure that when Jesus comes in the clouds of glory and the archangel calls, come up hither, that you'll be going up with the rest of us? That's all I want to make sure. That's all. That's all, okay? Superficial salvation. Now, I wonder, how many, did you ever think about it? How many Christians out there? How many Christians are there out there? Just, well, kind of biding their time, you know, feeling confident they're saved and on their way to glory, looking out for number one. Oh, they went through the paces, all right, of becoming a born-again Christian. Most of them even go to church on Sunday morning for the main service. Ooh! But then they kind of peter out and sit back and enjoy what life has to offer. Oh, wow. Ever confident of their salvation. No problem, sure. They did what they had to do to save their souls. End of story. Case closed. Is it really? Walked an aisle. Said a quickie prayer. Kissed their wife and their children and their dog goodnight. Maybe not in that order. And maybe said, well, now I lay me down to sleep. What a routine. Wow, how can they not be saved, you think? Well, stay tuned. Stay with me, please. The name, like I said, I've given my message today is Superficial Salvation. Superficial salvation, which means saved on the outside, but still dying on the inside. Wow. That's so sad. You know, even as I speak There are innumerable professing Christians out there walking about with the attitude that they made a profession of faith. As long as they don't kill somebody or spit in the Pope's eye, then they're a shoo-in for heaven. While I speak, there are multitudes of would-be Christians over hill and dale and kicking their heels in the Badlands, mostly Catholics. I used to be a Catholic, then I got saved, who sincerely believe that because they were baptized, then heaven is a given. Heaven is a given. Period. Oh, the Word of God is very clear. Very clear. Repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Have you got that? That's what Paul and Silas said to the jailer when he said, "What must I do to be saved? Repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." He didn't mean the house would be saved. He meant the people in the house, right? If they repented and believed. So what do you hear when you talk to self-believing Christians from the Lower East Side? Eh? "Hey, I'm cool with the man. Oh, yeah, brother. Da, 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 da. Oh, yeah, sure. You're cool. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're cool, but you could be hot, too, in the end. Don't risk turning from cool into hot." When I say hot, I'm talking about the flames of hell, eternal hell. Oh, they may have mouthed the words during a frenzied moment in their local church. And I'm sure many of them even tell you that they felt the presence of Jesus Christ in their hearts and minds. However, being caught up in the moment doth not mean caught up in the Spirit. Have you got that? Being caught up in the moment does not mean caught up in the Spirit. Okay? Now, what you experience when you walk a church aisle may never make its way to your heart. That's true. What you succumb to during a church moment may leave you, well, as they say, high and dry when the moment has passed. When you walk out the door and you get back into the real life you're living. Have you ever had to be revaccinated because the first one didn't take? It can happen. It does happen. Oh, yes. Over the years, I've encountered many thought-to-be Christians, who one day came to a point in their lives when they just weren't sure anymore. In other words, the feeling was gone. The feeling was gone. Oh, I've walked with them. I've laughed and talked with them. I've even wept for them. Oh, yes, indeed. Someone once said to me, "Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to a farmer's market makes you a farmer." True. This is true. But not going to church could mean you're not a Christian. It could. Now, the Word of God tells us of many ways to identify a Christian. You ever wonder, is that person a Christian? Well, listen to them talk. Watch the way they walk. You'll know if they're a Christian. I mean, a Christian has obvious signs about them. Now, a person might say, "Well, I'm a Christian, but I don't go around blowing my horn, you know, and showing off because I'm a Christian." Why not? Why not? Huh? Didn't Jesus go around? I mean, he wasn't blowing horns and shooting off his face. But I'll tell you one thing he was setting the example, and he was telling people how to get saved. So, what's your excuse? Do you have an excuse? You're not a Christian, are you? Oh, you are you? Okay. Now, the Word of God tells us very clearly of many ways that we can identify a Christian. First of all, we must understand the true meaning of what is a Christian? What constitutes a Christian? Well, the very word itself literally means in Christ. Christian, in Christ, right? Oh, if you are, yes, it is. Now, I'm not saying that I am a specialist at identifying who is a Christian. I'm not a specialist at that. Although some carry a look and an attitude wherever they go that speaks pretty loud as to what they are. Oh, yes. You know who I'm talking about, right? Now, when I was a military man, even out of uniform even, just by the way I walked, the way I talked, and all, it always preceded who and what I was. You know, I'm not talking about Christianity. I'm talking about, you know, that I was a military man or an ex-military man. Things stay with you when you're in the military for multiple years. These things, they don't just disappear overnight. The way you walk like a soldier, eh? Does a Christian walk like a Christian? Well, a Christian can walk any way they want. But if they're referring to their belief in Jesus Christ and what happened at Calvary, it's a whole lot different. The way they walk, the way they talk, speaks pretty loud of what they are. Yeah, when I was in the military, like I said, I talked, my walk and my talk always preceded who and what I was. But when I became a born-again Christian, the fact that the Holy Spirit indwelt me and my credentials, well, they were always before me. Always before me. Now, we're not all Apostle Pauls. Now, we have to realize that. We're not all Apostle Pauls. Although we may walk the same walk that he walked on the road to Damascus, that doth not mean we are all chosen vessels. You know, when I say chosen vessel, I don't mean that you're chosen to go to heaven. I mean that you're chosen for a very, very intricate place in the workings of the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. On the other hand, if we so choose to be chosen by the way of repentance and belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then are we not foreordained? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. My friends, the day is upon us. It's upon us now when the enemies of Christ have not only ID'd themselves, but have come a-hunting for Christians. That's their prey. The enemy who deny Christ, who don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ, who want to wipe Christianity off the face of the earth, they come a-hunting to rid the world of Christians. Oh my, it's coming to be a real problem, and it's easily identifiable. It's in the papers, it's on the air, it's just about everywhere you look, everything you hear. Well, it wasn't for those stupid Christians, you know. They think they have the upper hand in everything. Friends, in many walks of life, Christians are the enemies of the people. Yes, we are. You may wish to ask yourselves, when that day comes, if it hasn't yet, will I acknowledge my Jesus when the point of the sword is at my throat? Or will I forsake the one whom I pretended to be my Savior? Will I? We as Canadians or Americans or whomever we may be can carry the puck up the ice all right. Oh yeah, we just have difficulty in putting it in the net. Been there, eh? And now that we've come this far, let us examine briefly how we can be sure and true to ourselves that we are born again Christians of the faith. Have you got that? born again Christians of the faith. By the time we're finished, you may wish to re-examine yourself in order to determine if you truly are a born-again child of the King. You may wish to do this. I know, even in my early Christian life, I had to re-examine myself multiple times. Am I really a Christian? You know, then you go to the Word of God and it tells you. It gives you all these signs you need to know. So, don't just go to your next door neighbor. They might say, oh, don't worry about it. I know you. You never touched a drop of liquor in your life. Yeah, you sure. You're a Christian. Don't worry about it. That's not where you find your salvation. At the neighbor's? No. You find it in the work, the book, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where it is. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's in glory, not here on the earth, in glory with him. You know, if you're a born-again child of the King, you may also wish to re-examine your door-to-door witnessing. Huh? You go door-to-door? Well, we don't all, but yes, it's a good idea, of course. Telling people who are not saved about God, who don't get out to church, maybe can't get out to church, you know? Or you may do some street preaching. You know, that can be dangerous in today's world, but still. I mean, we have to reach the lost somehow, some way. Thank God we have, computers, we have radios, we have even blowhorns, we have a voice. Let us use it to glorify our God, okay? Now, you know, your street preaching and your Sunday morning only church attendance, hey, well, you know, that's good. And you should do it, yeah, if you can. But, you know, there's always a little bit more that needs to be done. You may even wish to have me arrested for stealing a salvation you never even really had. You know, a lot of things can go awry when you're a Christian because you got to take a little bit of getting used to. You see, being a Christian is different than just being who you are. You know, you're going to come under conviction. Things that you were doing before are going to tell you, oh, well, I don't know. I don't think God will be pleased with that. Oh, maybe I shouldn't go in there. Oh, maybe I shouldn't talk like that or hang out with these guys. You know, it's not hard to identify yourself as a Christian once you are a Christian. I could go... even go one step further and be thrown in jail for trying to steal someone else's faith. Oh, yeah, I'm as good as him, yeah. Sure, we play golf together. He and I are Christians. We're solid in the Lord, no doubt about it. The question is, if you're trying to steal his faith to ensure that you have the same faith, would you fight me to the end? Huh? Would you? Oh, isn't that the way it is with little children? That's what they do. They argue, you know, they're children. They don't realize, you know, certain consequences. I mean, but you can't really steal something from somebody who already owns it. You have to own it yourself. And now when I say, oh, hey, you're a Christian, right? Well, okay, I'm going to steal your Christianity for myself. You can't do that. You don't have to do that. All you got to do is turn to God, repent, and believe in the gospel. And that's not stealing. That's seeking, and that's finding. That's what it is. You can't steal something like that. You can't steal Christianity. No, let us look at some of the things. Some of the things. Let us look at them. That we either lose or give up when we become Christians. Okay? You know, I've had it right up to here. I'm rubbing my finger across my throat. Okay? I've had it right up to here by listening to people say things like, oh, yeah, I'm saved, sure. I got baptized by a bishop of the church. Or, my mama told me I was a Christian, and that's good enough for me. Now get out of my way. Oh, well, how about this one? My preacher told me that as long as I walked the church aisle and said, I believe, that's all I had to do. God looks upon the heart, and my heart is an open book. Oh, man, you're going to get all kinds of answers. Because someone tells you you're a Christian, even your pastor, it doesn't mean you are a Christian. You have to examine yourself to see if you really are in the faith. Oh, my. How many people, and there may be some listening right now, how many people treat being born again like a church social? Huh? Oh, I went there. Yeah, they had this big shindig on there after the service. So I went, you know, have some free pie and cake and all that, you know. Tell me, before we all knew what being born again really was like, what kind of condition were we in? Huh? Well, first of all, and to the point, the unsaved soul, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, the unsaved soul was spiritually lost. The quote is, but if the gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, without hope, separated. Let's go to, Ephesians. Yeah, Ephesians 2, verse 12. Ephesians 2, verse 12. Where are I? Ah, there it is. Okay, listen carefully. That at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Without God in the world. Isaiah 59 says, the lost are unregenerate. In Titus uses the term darkened. In Ephesians 4:18, what we read in Ephesians 4:18, let's take a look at it. I'm going to look at it. I want to make sure I get it right. Ephesians 4:18. Here we are. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Do you have blindness in your heart? Well, if you're unregenerate, then you have blindness in your heart. You should keep that in mind. Ephesians 4:18, the key word is unprofitable too. Romans says, under the wrath of God. Over in John, still in the flesh, satisfying our own fleshly needs, putting ourselves before God, not standing before Him or kneeling before Him, but placing ourselves before Him. Oh yes, I got a life to live, yes, and I believe in God. No, I got a God to believe in, and then I have a life to live. That's the way it's supposed to go. Still in the flesh, satisfying your own fleshly needs, spiritually dead. Physically, maybe very alive and capable, but spiritually dead. Not good, huh? No salvation there, huh? Now, before we close, let's turn the page over and check out what God is waiting. What God is waiting for when we do repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. What God is waiting for. How we enter into the family of God. Now, there's only one thing greater or I should say worse, greater worse than man's sin. There's only one thing greater than man's sin. That's God's grace. God's grace. There's nothing greater than God's grace. Because of God's great love for mankind, He devised a supernatural remedy that's so powerful it could not only overwhelm and even eliminate all our sinful ways, but cleanse us from our future sins. Isn't that something? Cleanse us from our future sins. This can only be achieved by the washing and the regeneration of all who would repent and believe. Repent and believe. Very important phrase. Because of Calvary, the repentant sinner is reconciled to a holy and righteous God. Romans, I think I marked it here in my book. Yeah, Romans. Let me see, where are we here? Romans 5:10. Okay, let's get it. 5:10. 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the truth of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Wow! Isn't that great stuff? Great stuff. Salvation, in a nutshell, means we are made righteous. Have you got that? We are made righteous. We are justified. We are redeemed. We are saved. We are adopted. Blessed, forgiven, and raised up and placed into the body of the living Christ to be made bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Flesh of His flesh. Isn't that wonderful? Flesh of His flesh. And let us all read together Romans 8:30 as we draw to a close. Romans 8:30. Romans, here we are. Romans 8:30. Well, you know what? I just read it, didn't I? But I want to read it again because it's so important that you realize this. Moreover now, whom He did, God, predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just marvelous? Oh, it's so wonderful. Now, before I close, I want to leave you with this, well, they call it food for thought. But anyway, it's a tip, you've probably heard it before. Listen to this carefully. A man who wants to lead the orchestra must turn his back on the crowd. Now, if you want to lead the orchestra of God, well, you have to turn your back on the crowd of the world. Okay? I want to thank you for listening. I pray you've got a blessing from this message somehow, some way. And I pray you'll tune in again to the Just Jesus Network for another in this series of Battle Site for Christ sermons. Amen. Amen.